You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English.
Hi, and welcome to the Study Legal English podcast. Today I'm here in Milan with Fulvio Gentili, who is a lawyer who practices in Milan. Hi, Fulvio.
Hi, Louise. I'm going to tell you something about my job of litigation lawyer in Milan.
Brilliant. Tell me a little bit about the firm that you work for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the moment, I'm working in a pretty big law firm. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I've been working in very large ones, one of the largest law firms in Italy. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about a large law firm, I'm talking about a firm that has maybe 300, 500 mm-hmm. Lawyers working for the firm. Of course, not all of them in the same place. Some of them are different offices in different cities in Italy and maybe even abroad. Some Italian law firms have some offices even outside of Italy. Mm-hmm. I've been working in the past in a boutique law firm that is a firm with very, very small, but is specialized in some particular fields. Usually, boutique law firms are developed by legals, that by lawyers that used to work in large law firms and get out of this because they decide to create their own brand, their own firm. And so they start working alone. So I developed my experience in plenty of different places, and so that's the reason why I think I can look at this job from different points of view.
So tell me a little bit about how you became to be a lawyer. What what did you study? What was the process?
Yeah. At first, I decided to study law because I was dreaming about being a lawyer, a judge. Mm-hmm. At first, I was thinking about this, but later on, I understood that I wanted something different. I wanted to work in the private sector, and I understood that I was not one enforcing law or making the other respect to law. I was going to look for something different. I decided to work in the private sector and not to work inside the company, but I wanted to be a consultant, helping companies and clients to face difficult, very hard problems, hard issues, and being very expert in one field and try to be successful as a lawyer, as a consultant. I studied law for 5 years at university. Later on, you have 2 years training in order to become a lawyer. After the training, you have to take an exam, the bar exam. So it lasts 1 year. You lose 1 year for your exam. And you have to be very, very lucky in order to pass it at the first try. So most of the times, so most of people have to do it, to repeat it one, two, or three times in order to pass it.
So you do a 5-year degree, and then you do this, well, you start training in a law firm, and you have to at some point pass this bar exam. What's the process of becoming a judge in Italy?
When you are making a bar exam in order to become a lawyer, you have to study 5 subjects, and the judge had to study 10 subjects, or so on. Maybe it's a little bit, the problem is much larger. Most of them don't need to have a particular training, practical training. In some cases, maybe if you are a researcher at university, you are entitled to try the exam as a judge. Or if you are studying in a school that is dedicated to becoming a judge, you don't need to do any training. So maybe they have less practical background, but they have to study more. So maybe most of the judges I know have studied for 5 years in order to pass the exam.
So now, just moving on to a little bit about Italian law and the court process. Can you tell me a little bit about how the courts are structured in Italy? Yeah.
Making reference to civil justice, we have the justice of peace, that is the lower level, and it deals usually deals with cases that are very small, having regard to their worth. So they are, the value is up to 5,000 euros. So most of the times there are cases that were maybe regard insurance or consumers, yeah, clients that are buying something, a product that doesn't work.
Small
claims, yeah. First step is the civil court, and civil court deals with every kind of matter. So starting from 5,000 euros to every kind of a value, there's not limit, and it's the first degree judge for Italy, and later on you have court of appeal. If you are not happy with the decision that the first degree court took, you can appeal the decision in front of the court of appeal. Later, if you want to challenge the decision that was taken by the court of appeal, you can go to the court of cassation, court di cassazione, Supreme Court, we could say, that is the third instance court in Italy, and it's based in Rome. There's only one court of cassation, and it's based in Rome.
And do you have a similar concept to precedent in the UK? So, a higher court can issue a decision and it's binding on the lower courts?
No. However, if the court of cassation issues a decision, it's very hard that lower courts will take a different stance. Practically speaking, it's the same of UK. Yeah, if you are a common judge, you are very, very unlikely to decide in a completely different way. If you know the court of cassation is took a stance, it's difficult for you to do something different. But maybe it happens, because Italian judges are not so the decision is completely valid if take a different stance.
They're not bound by
They're not bound, but most of the times they do.
And what's the process of bringing a case to the civil court?
Yeah, most of cases you start with a writ of summons that is served on the other party. So the plaintiff serves this writ of summons, and later on there is a first hearing that usually happens 3 months, at least 3 months after the service of the writ of summons, so that the other party, the defendant, has time to prepare his defense. Later on, the first hearing, usually the judge is checking whether the writ of summons were served properly, and moreover, parties can involve other parties in the proceeding. Later on, if after the first hearing there is a change of briefs on evidence, this change of brief is the most important part of the proceedings, in my opinion, because first of all, in this there are three briefs, and while serving this brief, while filing this brief, you have also to attach the documents you want to support your assertions. So if you don't provide evidence in this at this stage, you cannot do it in the later later stage, except in case you have a new piece of evidence that was formed after afterwards. Parties are bound to challenge what the assertion that they do not accept. If you are asserting A, and I want to assert B, and I'm silent at this stage, I cannot at the end of the proceeding, I cannot challenge what it's fixing what it's making it permanent. Mm-hmm. And moreover, yeah, you can request during this stage, at this stage, you can request expert witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So you can the appointment of an expert that will give an opinion on technical methods, maybe, and you can request at this stage witnesses too. So if you want somebody to testimony to witness on the case, you have to request it at this stage, and later on at the end of the exchange of briefs, the judge will decide which requests are admissible, are acceptable, and which are not. He fixes another hearing. At his hearing, the parties state their conclusions, that is what they request to the judge. Later on, we have to file with the court some further two briefs, but just the final brief on reply and the final statement of your defences.
So tell me about your specific work, what you what your typical day is like.
So usually I go to office at 9, around 9 o'clock, so not very early in the morning. I usually spend the time studying cases and writing. I write a lot. I write a lot because in civil litigation, hearings are much less important than writing. So deeds are the most important things. So most of the time you spend in writing deeds. Of course, often at some hearings, maybe three times in a week, I go to a hearing. But if I have an hearing in Milan, it's very close because my my office is 10 minutes far from here. Sometimes I go in other places in Italy. Maybe if I have important cases in other cities in northern Italy, the law firm prefers that their own lawyers go for it.
Okay. In the court process, when you're doing litigation, what things do you enjoy in that process?
Yeah, the process is is very, very. It's a fun. It's never boring. It's never boring. It's something that is exciting because, first of all, it's a kind of aggressive work, aggressive job. Because the other person, the other lawyer that is in front of you, is looking for a way to win, and and if he wins, you lose. So there is no draw between lawyers. You are always trying to win, and so that's very exciting. Of course, if you make mistakes, it's something that it will not. Somebody will notice. Somebody will take advantage of it. So you have to be very, very, very careful. You have to study a lot. There are some principle that has to be well understood in order for you to write a good deed. But moreover, you have to examine a lot of stuff, a lot of evidence, and so it's even something that is practical. So it's at the same time it's both theoretical and practical. So it's great. And moreover, it's, I think it's a very creative job, and so it's one of the things I like most about my job.
Okay, so what are some of the common problems that your clients face?
In my opinion, one of the first problems our clients had to face is ADR, this alternative dispute resolution. In the case of Italy, we have a rate of successful ADR that is very, very, very low. So maybe in 99% of cases, ADR is useless. So it's hard even for the lawyer to ask for money for it, because it's something that, you know, at the beginning you know it's useless, so you have to sell it for nothing. Another problem that clients have to face is the service of deeds. Usually it's something that is very hard and can create some problems that can be raised at later stage, can create some problems that can damage the further stages of the proceeding. A lot of was done by the Italian legislator in the last years in order to implement digital trial and digital service audit. So if you have a dispute against a big company, it's easy for you to serve your deed, your written summons from your own office, and in at the same time it is forwarded to the counterparty, to the defendant. But if you are having a dispute against a small company, for instance, they would be forced to have their own address, PAC, PAC address, but most of them, maybe some many big, many small companies do not comply with this obligation. In addition, if you are a litigation against a person, against not a company but a person, it's always very, very hard to find them because the service rules are very strict and they take a lot of guarantees in favor of the receiver, of the person that is receiving the service. So if we add, I think if we add, if Italian legislator decided that even individual persons had to have their own digital address, they're forced to have this and with the same of the same way of the big companies, it could be much easier and much faster. In addition to this, I think at later stages, the Italian proceeding, the Italian civil proceeding, is quite slow in comparison with other countries. If you look at the Italian regulations, the proceeding could start, could last 1 year, only 1 year. So it's not a problem of regulation. In Milan, it's quite fast, and most of the cases are dealt with in less than 3 years for a first degree proceeding. And it's very fast for Italy. Most of the cases, it lasts many years in other parts of Italy. Maybe in some cases, it's just a matter of shortage of judges. Maybe many courts have maybe 3 judges or 4 judges, judges in big cities, and it's hard for them to have a very high workload in order to decide all the disputes. Another problem that I think could be easily solved is at the end of the proceeding when the decision is issued. I think most of Italian judges tend to provide refund, reimbursement of costs that is lower than the standard fees. You have to standard fees, you can consider maybe standard fees for a case worth less than two billions of euros is maybe 40,000 euros. So it's not much, plus taxes. So it's not much in comparison with other countries. For instance, if you are in regard to court fees are very low because maybe for a case of worth millions, you pay to the court just 1,600 euros. Okay. So it's quite low. The tax you are paying is quite. So most of times I had to have the I was in touch with foreign customers and foreign clients. We were surprised because they were thinking Italian justice was cheap, but yes, maybe they were ready to pay a little bit more, yeah, but if it was faster and more efficient.
Yes,
and yeah, most of times many cases mm-hmm, are started just in order to take time, just in order to delay. Maybe you know you had to pay some money, but yeah, you start a trial just in order to mm-hmm delay the payment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there should be some kind of punishment at the end of the trial, and mm-hmm, judges should not be very
lenient, easy on the losing side. Just to finish off, what would you like to do in the future? What are your plans for the future for you or your firm?
The most important thing is for me is to do my job well, mm-hmm, to win the most cases I do. Mm-hmm. The most cases I deal with, and to maybe have deal with very complex cases, more and more complex, and mm-hmm, more and more worth in regard of economic value.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want for the future.
Mm-hmm. That brings us to the end of the interview. So thank you so much, Fulvio.
Thank you.
Very interesting. So thanks for listening, and see you next time.